Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Oh, that's a big check. Well, obviously, you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Welcome to MGP 486. I'm Kev, and with me this week, we only have Hannah and Pab because Sheepdog is skiving. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Hello.
There's no Sheepdog here. There's no Sheepdog here. So I've got great news for you, listeners, because there's no podcast next week. Potentially, Pab has just said there might be one, but because it's EGX next week, and there probably won't be a podcast, and let's face it, even if we do record one down in London, Sheepdog will be off gallivanting at nightclubs and the stuff that he does in London with his active social life. So you, the lucky listener, have got a couple of weeks now without having to put up with Sheepdog. You are welcome. We did it. It's taken us a while, but as a group, we have achieved it. We're 100% Sheepdog free. You're welcome. Are you all as excited as I am?
Yeah.
No Sheepdog.
Yeah.
I suppose. Sheepdog's
in prison.
He's in prison, is he?
Yeah. Unpaid parking tickets is what I heard it was.
I see.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
He is a disgrace. He's pretending to be sick. He's always slow on the uptake. Late to the party, Sheepdog has decided 2 years after everyone stopped being sick that he's going to be sick now. He is ridiculous. Come on, Sheepdog. Goodness me. Yeah, he's probably queuing in London and doesn't want us to know. After all of that mocking us for wanting to go and see the flags for the Jubilee, he's probably down there queuing up and just doesn't want us to know about it, so he's pretending to be sick. Guarantee that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I need to go down and check the queue. It's probably not that big.
I did see him on Discord earlier on his phone. So I'm like, he's in the queue checking.
He's in the queue.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He is a disgrace. How are we all on this fine week anyway, rather than talking about him? Are we all good? Are we all happy? Are we all excited?
Yes.
Yeah, we can. But yeah, sure.
It's EGX next week. We should.
I know. Pab,
you haven't seen my beautiful face since May.
Have I not?
Not in person. You haven't touched my beard since May.
Why is he touching you?
So he knows I'm
why,
real.
Why was I touching you? I don't recall it at all.
Sometimes
I've,
I just rub
I've
my
sent
beard
you
on your
a link,
on the
by the way.
Oh.
To what? To Sheepdog in the queue?
No. I've sent you a link of what it's I want when you go.
It's a live feed.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, I have seen these. Anna's not coming to EGX because of her poorly back. So it's just going to be the three of us down there next week.
Two of us.
Yeah, once Sheepdog's off doing his clubbing and queuing and whatnot, it'll just be me and Pab. So Anna's giving me and Pab a shopping list of things to get on our Saturday adventures. And she sent us... I've seen these in Harrods, I think. They're basically little cuddly foods. So there's a little cuddly sweet corn, a little cuddly mushroom.
Look at the hot dog. If you go
the
down,
hot dog
this
is pretty
popcorn
great.
Is so sweet. It's so...
I like the look of that croissant.
Right.
The shrimp is amazing. Pab, we're getting some of these.
Right, but where are these from?
I'm sure I've seen them in Harrods.
Apparently they're in Harrods.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen these in there. I didn't see a fried egg or I would have bought it. The fried egg's out of stock. The popcorn is amazing. This is brilliant. These are Anna, do you actually want us to have any money? Because I'm going to spend it all.
Right. First things first. this website, there is also, if you look at the top like bar, there's a store finder. Why are we going to the actual store?
Oh, that's a good idea. It's Jellycat, by the way, the website we're looking at, for those of you who want to play along at home. So let's enter location. London, UK. I'm not a robot. Find a store. There's loads of stores. So they just are stocked in shops. They're in Scribbler. There's Scribblers everywhere. They're in Hamleys. They're in John Lewis. They're all over the place. There is Harrods, which is where I thought I'd seen them.
We can literally just go down these one by one and just collect them all. This is like a real-life Pokemon.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, we should do. You need to let us. They're Jellycat Amusables, if you want to have a look at these while you're out doing your bits and bobs and wondering what we're talking about. But I'm going to bring Anna home a teapot and a set of cherries that look like testicles and maybe a lobster.
Have you seen the sushi at the bottom?
I can see the sausage, which is amazing.
No, there's silly sushi. I don't know what it's called. Niagi and California.
They've got microphones. Oh, we could record the podcast on these.
It's
amazing.
Oh, I like the avocado. The avocado's got a little bobble hat on.
They got a pencil sharpener. This is great.
The blue cheese. Look at him. He's a smart looking chap.
Okay. We'll get you some of these, Anna. How have you discovered these? Where have these come from?
The lovely website called TikTok.
Never heard of it.
I'm not going to lie. Every single one is out of stock.
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe I'm online. Here.
If you go to
the shop.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're
hot. Yeah, we'll see what we can find in the shop. I'm on the lookout for a swan. Now I've seen the swan, which I've just posted to you two in the chat. Okay. I just want him to sit next to me on my desk. I think he's brilliant. The way he just sits there having a look. He's my new swan. Wow. But yeah, we should probably stop looking at a website that our audio listeners can't see. And we're just looking through and looking. I'm looking at penguins now. This is absolutely brilliant. We could probably, I bet they've got something we could replace sheepdog with. But yeah, we're down in London for EGX. We had a little look last week. I think we should probably do our traditional EGX preview. Now we've not got sheepdog here to ruin it with negativity. So I'm on the EGX website now looking at things to do. Oh, look, there's a football manager panel on the Thursday afternoon, 2:30 till 3:30. I don't actually know what stage it's on, so I am actually going to look at the website so I can actually tell you whereabouts to go, assuming it is listed on the website somewhere, which I'm pretty sure it was, under F for foot. No, it's not under F for football manager. Why would it be? There it is, the football manager content. It's under T for the football manager content creators panel, which is on Thursday, September the 22nd, 2:30 till 3:30 p.m. at the EGX Community Hub, wherever that is. I'm going to read you the blurb. Join Zealand, Work the Space, Lelujo, and Nerdphonic for a chat about all things football manager and how they created full-time careers creating content for a niche game. And then straight after that, well, they've told us straight after, but there appears to be a brief interlude, because then between 4 and 5 in the Earl Zone, spelled IRL, the Earl Zone, we're having an informal meet and greet where you can come along and meet the four of us. And more importantly, bring World Cup stickers with you, because I have 163 stickers that I need for my sticker album, and I will be doing trades. So that's on the Thursday of EGX. And then the Sunday of EGX, you can't keep me off. I'm bookending the show. I'm opening and closing. This is my event this year, because on the Sunday, and again, I am now trying to find the time. There it is. Sunday, 25th of September, 2022, 2 p.m. till 2:45 p.m. The neurodiversity panel. We've got to call it something different. I can never say it. Join Kevin Chapman, Ray Jidowu, Connor Ward, Schnum, and some thing called Sheepdog, as they discuss experiences about ADHD and being autistic online, acceptance, and what it's like to be a neurodivergent content. And then it continues, and I haven't pressed more info. So you'll have to come along to see where that goes. The final part was space. But yeah, we've got the two panels either end of the show. So there's that. That's something you can do if you're coming. But I guess if you do come along looking for the full Chapman experience, the bookending of the show, like me, you're probably looking for something that you want to do in between the two of those things. So they do have, they've been announcing games all week. I'm looking through the list of playable games now to work out what we might have here.
Hold
so
up, hold up.
Go on, Pab.
Before you do, do you want me to read the statement that they put out?
Go on, read the statement.
There's a bit of talk about staying silent for respect of the Queen. Fine. The next paragraph is, we're looking forward to welcoming you back to the show this year, and we wanted to let you know what to expect. Because the industry is still catching up after various COVID-19 lockdowns, pandemic is still here, he says. As you have noticed, game developers and publishers are still dealing with disrupted development, with many games delayed into next year, and creating demo builds has not been the top priority. We can't fix that. So we're working to expand the number of types of games experiences we can offer at the show. Conveniently, games has never been more varied, so we have a lot to pick from. That includes blockbuster titles that are still coming this year, of course, like Sonic Frontiers, Street Fighter 6, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Beta, and more to come, along with a knockout roster of indie games. You'll find more than twice as many games on the show floor, with 44% more indie titles than 2021. You'll also find the latest hardware, including over 40 units of a new Steam Deck.
Ooh, I've got one of those.
You've always made very clear to play new games is the most important part of EG experience, and we've brought as many as we possibly can. And they go on to say they've doubled the number of exhibitors, brought along influenced and voice talent, and added a bunch of new features.
They've not brought me and Zealand in as a compromise for no playable games, have they? Goodness me.
Number of different speakers and so on and so forth, yeah.
But, I'm your consolation prize, everybody.
So, yeah, that is what it's saying.
I've gone on the games list, and when you go on to the playable games section, it's filterable by category. And so I've ticked the main expo category, thinking this will be where the big games that are playable are. There are five games on this list. Do you want to know what the five playable games are? These are the five main expo games.
Sure.
I don't know if any of these are out or not. Sonic Frontiers.
No, that isn't out, but it is out.
Oh, there
it
you go.
It is out October, I want to say. Maybe
that's
into
exactly
November.
How it should be. Games that are out in a few weeks, that's what we want. Wolong Fallen Dynasty.
Demo for that came out today, I want to say.
Okay, and it's going to be playable there next week.
I imagine that is the same demo.
Deceive Inc.
I have never heard of that.
Street Fighter 6.
That isn't coming out till next year, I want to say. But it's been a demo that's been... It's probably the demo that they showed at the Summer Game Fest in July. I want to say, imagine it's the same sort of thing.
Finally, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Beta.
Which is out today, and you could be playing it right now.
Okay, so...
It's a beta, like I say.
So there's Not a lot then in the way. I mean, it's not quite. I mean, the fact they've got a few, that is more than last year. Bless them. That is more than last year. But I think if you are going there expecting the kind of show that they were putting on at Earl's Court and in the early days at the NEC, there have been times where you two in particular, less so me, but you two could spend an entire day or several days of the weekend just queuing, playing a game, and just having new games all the way through.
Mm.
You certainly can't do that anymore.
No. I think I remember like playing Shadow of Mordor at one point, Evolve. There's so many different games that weren't even like out, or they were close to being out that year. And it feels like, you're right, it just feels like a completely different kind of event though.
Yeah, it feels much more like Insomnia, because I'm looking at the LAN section. They've got a huge LAN section that's full of every multiplayer game you've ever heard of. So you can go and play games with your mates there. They've got loads and loads of indie games like you have at all of these kind of events. So there is lots of stuff to do. They've focused in much more on stuff like panels and meet and greets and stuff on stages and stuff. Again, more of the Insomnia kind of stuff. What I find, what I'm intrigued by, and that I think I'm going to make a commitment now to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Gamescom next year because I want to know. I know there were games. I know there were demos at Gamescom. So for them to say there are none, I struggle with a little bit because Gamescom still happened. And as an example, because it's the because it's a game that I care about, the AEW wrestling game that's coming out later in the year, I don't know if it was playable there. But I know it was there because it won best sports game at the show.
So there's
an example of an upcoming game that won a prize at Gamescom.
There was a wrestling ring at Gamescom, wasn't there?
I know there's a wrestling ring at the Tokyo Games Show this week because again, promotion for the AEW game. They've got loads of wrestlers actually there, wrestling matches. So again, if Gamescom have got demos and Tokyo Game Show have got demos, what's that about, eh? Why are they telling us the demos don't exist? Are they just too expensive now? Has EGX fallen off and is not considered one of these big deal events? Have they gone too far away from industry towards consumer stuff?
This feels more like, I don't know whether PAX, I feel like this is more like a PAX now, where it's much more of a, I don't know if it's just more play with your mates kind of, I don't know. It doesn't feel like an event for like previewing games. It's just there to go for a meetup and have a dot around with your mates and some games that you've already played.
Which,
but you like,
I guess, makes sense because they're now owned by the same company as Comic Con.
Yeah.
So it's now the same thing as Comic Con. Just with a slightly different backdrop, rather than it being anime and comic book backdrop, it's a video game backdrop. But ultimately, it's a place where you go and dress up in cosplay, meet up with your mates, hang out, have fun. And I mean, Comic-Con has never needed loads of new announcement, exciting, funky stuff. I mean, it's had bits and bobs from time to time over the years. I mean, the first time me and Anna went to London Comic-Con together 10 years ago, we played Lollipop Chainsaw pre-release. I distinctly remember that because I got groped by a zombie cheerleader and we came away with a big foam chainsaw. But even Comic-Con had pre-release games 10 years ago. And that wasn't the only game we played that day. So, yeah, it's a strange one. It really is a strange one. But it's obviously what they're... It must be a conscious decision on their part that this is the kind of event they want to put on now. Because I'm looking through the list. There were 148 games at Gamescom. Now, I don't expect they were all pre-released. And I don't expect they were all even playable. I
mean, is there a number on the EGX one?
Well, we just saw five, didn't
no,
we?
No, yeah,
on the main expo.
If you go click on the playable games tab, there is tons of games. Are we going to play an extra any of them? Probably not.
But the thing is, if I just scroll this randomly and pick three in a row, March of Shrooms, Mars Base, Monorail Stories. I'm going to do the same thing on the Gamescom one. We've got Let's Sing ABBA, Starfield, and Kinda Brave Go Fight. I don't know what Go Fight Fantastic is. But the point is, I've heard of Let's Sing and Starfield. They're bigger games. I scroll differently. I mean, there's stuff I recognise on the Gamescom one. On that playable games list for EGX, no, there's not. The only stuff I recognise are indie games that have been out for years.
Yeah.
Like Dwarf Romantics on there, which we've talked about a lot. So I recognise that because we were playing it 2 years ago, and it's great. We joked before the show, I wonder if Gang Beasts is going to be at EGX again because it's been to everyone we've ever been to. It's not actually on the playable list, but I remember Gang Beasts being at Rezzed when it was still at the NEC, so that must have been when EGX itself was still at Earl's Court for Rezzed to be at the NEC. Oh. That's how long ago that's been going for.
Got Simulator 3 here. That's not out yet.
Oh, Andy would love that.
Oh, there you go.
So he would want to walk away with it as well. So let's not take it.
I'll try and get a copy of it. If Goat Simulator 3 are listening, can you sort us out with a copy, please?
He keeps asking for it. I'm like, it's not out yet. Stop asking. So he knows about it. Even though he like doesn't watch any of like our things, he knows Goat Simulator 3 is on its way, bless him.
Rocket League's playability, Jerks.
Oh, wow.
So it feels like it's much more of a social event.
Yeah, and which is fine. I really enjoy. I said last week, I really enjoyed Insomnia. I thought it was the best convention I've been to in 3 or 4 years. Probably. Certainly since post-COVID type stuff. So including TwitchCon and Comic-Con and EGX and everything we've been to in the year plus since things started opening up again. Insomnia, this August just gone, was comfortably the biggest and best event that I've been to, and it had nothing new and playable. The biggest, most impressive stand there was the FIFA 22 stand. That's not FIFA 23. That's the FIFA 22 stand that they had at Insomnia. So you don't necessarily need all the shiny and new stuff. But I think because EGX was built on that, and there's so many people who've been going for a long time and have come to expect that, I get why they're having to try and do the damage control stuff, because they got absolutely ruined on Twitter last year with people turning up. And I mean, I remember me and Anna being on the show floor of EGX last year, sending a video to you and Sheepdog on Twitter, yeah, saying, look, yep, this is all that's here. There's nothing here. Oh, dear.
Well, I fear it'll be the same.
Yeah. Because I just hope it's not as sparse. I want it to feel busy. I want it to feel like an event.
The problem is we're spoiled with Comic-Con. Comic-Con is littered with stalls for days. That just isn't that. And they can try and fill it up as much as they want. It ain't going to be Comic-Con. And that's what we come to expect, especially from May, when it was back to like full-size Comic-Con. It will feel relatively empty, I think.
They have a tabletop zone.
And?
We can go and play Pokemon TCG. At 4.45 to 5.45 on the EGX community stage, so I think this is the show after the Football Manager one, Pokey Chloe and Pokey Dean are opening some Pokemon cards on stage.
Okay.
So we can go and watch that. Well, I can't. I'm doing a meet and greet then and you're not there. But theoretically, we could go and watch that. That's there. Oh, I know I'm going to enjoy it, but at the same time, I know we keep hammering this point home. I think if you are going to be coming along, and I don't really know, let us know at RB6K on Twitter. Let us know.
I mean,
are you still coming? Because I know going back 7 or 8 years, so many of you lot would come along to these events. Yes. I distinctly remember. Were you at Bodine's in Fulham that year, Pab? Did you come to that one?
No.
It might have been before you joined the crew.
Before, I think, yeah.
But we went over, this is when it was still at Earl's Court, we went over to Bodine's at Fulham and needed a table for 50 people, and the bill was over $2,000 when we were done. We took over the entire restaurant just with podcast listeners who, and that's just a small section who came along to EGX. So I know it's previously been a huge thing for our listeners, but then I also know last year we didn't really, I think everyone who said hello probably knew me from YouTube, and that was maybe about it. And it seems to be that you lot as our listeners maybe don't care anymore. So let us know if you don't care anymore, if you've moved on.
If you are coming and you've not, say you used to come like to Earl's Court or the NEC, just temper your expectations, because it is different. It is different, and it's not necessarily bad, but it is. I feel like it's a lot more. It's much more toned down than what it used to be. So, for better or worse, it is a different thing these days. And like you say, we'll still have a good time.
They've got the EGX Gauntlet again. That was good last year.
Was that?
If that's what I think it was. Wasn't that the thing where you had to run up a thing?
Like the Fall Guys thing?
I think so, yeah.
But he had the Fall Guys Travelator thing. He had to run up the...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. He might have it.
There's an after-hours area that's open till 10 p.m. on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. If you do chill out, catch up with friends and play some games.
What have you been doing all day? You've not been doing that.
Queuing. the difference is, Pab, in these pictures for the after-hours section, everybody's got half a plastic glass of beer.
Oh.
So that seems to be the difference. You get to have half a plastic glass of beer in the after hours. My panel was going to be cancelled, isn't it? Because we've gone in on EGX before even getting there. And to be fair to them, they've still sold out their tickets. So I imagine they don't really care, because you know, it's the brand recognition now is to such a point where people are going to come along and most people are going to have a good time, and there'll be the vocal few on Twitter who moan about it because it's not the way it was in 2013. And I would like to keep pushing the message out there that it's never going to be the way it was in 2013. That was a different event, run in a different place by a different company. Yeah. This is now the people who own Comic-Con have bought the EGX brand and now do a Comic-Con style event called something slightly different that's about video games rather than pop culture.
It's the same. It's a PAX pretty much. And like it's the same. PAX own the same, own that as well. No, I mean, ReadPop own PAX as well.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much just trying to, they're trying to emulate that over here with the EGX brand because they know what it, people know what it is. I mean, EGX back in the day was run by, it was Eurogamer Expo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I don't even know if they're even affiliated with it anymore in any way, shape, or form.
No,
I don't think they
seem to be.
They used to be used to be on the show floor and used to do panels, didn't they, and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
To be fair, I've not been on the Eurogamer website in about 3 years, so I couldn't be sure that still exists, but I assume
it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, all this really means is that there is an opening in the UK scene for MGPX to come back under new management, and we're going to have all the new release games, the pre-release stuff.
Under new management, so, yes.
Yeah,
let
Sheepdog's
someone else
running
it.
Up
and just,
yeah, oh yeah, I just, can't be bothered with doing all that. Sheepdog's going to run it. He's promising you he's going to have at least 30 unreleased games there, AAA unreleased games, and it's going to be in June, so you get them earlier than Gamescom. And that's going to be next year. So just again, at RB6K on Twitter. Or sort out your tickets and reserve your spots now.
Yes.
I think it's going to be room for about 80,000 people, he was saying. So I would get in quick because it's going to be popular because it's going to be the biggest game event on the planet. It's going to be the new E3, but better, is what he said. It's what he promised. But me and Pab are not affiliated with it. We're just there as customers. We're buying our own tickets.
With talent, we just turn up for the panels and then exactly. leave.
Right, I think we've filled the sleep dog. Appropriate. We've filled the sheepdog slot of the show, which means just to sneak in pre-advert and let you know what I've been up to. I'm winding down FM22 now. I've finished my Football Manager stream save for the year. I'm coming towards the end of my YouTube save as well. I've probably only got less than a month left on that one. Getting ready for FM23, which officially releases on the 8th of November. But as we talked about last week, we'll have the beta 2 or 3 weeks before. So we're probably a month or so from the new game. So I'm winding that down and playing Civilization VI's Face Off. Oh, I am loving this game. I've been streaming it and people have been teaching me how to play it. I've been playing it wrong all these years, but I've had a couple of victories now. I am becoming a Civilization expert. I might just become a Civ streamer from now on. Forget Football Manager. Kev is a Civ streamer. But there is so much to learn in this game. There's like 6 or 7 different ways you can win, and they all involve doing completely different things. And then there's, 20 or 30 different civilizations. And they all have different units and different things they're good and bad at and different tactics. So once you combine all the different civs with all the different ways you can win, there's literally hundreds of different strategies that you can go into a game looking to deploy. And it can all be turned on its head based on where you start and who's nearby and what stuff you find and what stuff you can research. And there's so much depth to it, so much complexity to it. And every time I turn it on and play, I'm learning about a new thing and a new thing you can do or a new thing somebody else can do. And the amount of times I play for 2 hours, realize I've been doing something or didn't understand something. I now understand it. Then I've gone back and restarted. And then that thing didn't even come up, but I now know it. So, yeah, I'm loving Civ. It is spectacular. And I think at the moment on Steam, you can get the game and all of the DLC for about £18, which is really good value when you consider that the game itself is usually £40 as the buy-in price, and then all the DLC separately would be hundreds probably. I'm just having a look. If you buy all the game at full price is $49.99, And if you buy all the DLC separately, that's another 67. So you're looking at over 100 quid for the game and the DLC separate, but you can buy it all together as a bundle. And I can't see what the price of the bundle is because I've already bought it, but it was definitely less than 20 quid for the full bundle of everything. So it is, and if you've already got part of it, it discounts the bundle for you as well. So because I already had the full game, I paid even less for the bundle that included all of the DLC. So it is definitely good value at the moment if you're looking to jump on, but it is in its complete form. You know, anyone who's played Civ in the past will know when it first comes out, it's a bit bare, especially when you go into it having played the fully specced out version of the previous game. But this is Civ 6 in its final form, all the DLC, everything that's going to be in it is in it, and that's why there's so much depth and complexity to it, because it's got three different waves of DLC and all these little tweaks and things that have happened along the way as well, and could genuinely keep you amused for thousands of hours for less than 20 quid. It's almost as good value as Football Manager. I certainly know how to pick time sync games. And bearing in mind, I'm the guy who says a perfect game should take less than 8 hours. How do I get sucked into stuff like this? This is why I don't want to play longer games, because I get too into them and that's it. I'm lost for 3 years of my life and I'd come back with a beard.
Yeah, that makes no sense. You claim to want an 8-hour game, but...
I'm a man full of contradictions, Paddy. I see you've got it on your Steam list.
I thought I'll get the price for you. And apparently I've got a ton of it. I didn't even know. I must have got it in a Humble because I don't play it at all.
Yeah, you're one of my seven friends who already own this game.
Not only have I got it, I've got over half of the DLC as well, apparently.
Have you played it?
No. I've watched Steam a bit of you played it, and I'm always baffled by it, and I'm always like, I don't understand what's going on.
I get really confused playing it on my own. This is why I like streaming it, because there's always a few nerds in there who know what they're doing and kind of guide me through it, and then I'm just asking them for help and asking them to explain why I'm doing the things they're telling me to do, so that's quite helpful. I'm being trained for when I have my game against Zealand, which is coming at some point.
I mean, I
beat him.
I played Civ 4 years ago when I was always intrigued about Civilization. I've heard people talking it up for ages. I thought, I'm going to buy Civ 4. Bought Civ 4, played it once for about 6 hours, had no clue what I was doing. I was just clicking and clicking next, just clicking next, and they're seeing the little people move around the map, and I go, I don't know what's happening. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing. I'm just clicking, and I sat there for 6 hours just watching it, kind of mesmerized by it, and never touched it again, because I didn't know what I'd done. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know whether I'd won. I just remember coming out like 6 hours later and going, what just happened? It is a time sink, and it kind of blew my mind. It's like, I don't know. I genuinely couldn't tell you anything like about it. It was like as if I just, I'd been abducted by aliens and I'd been gone for, I feel like I've been gone for a second. So yeah, I've never touched any of the other ones just because they baffle me. I've tried. Did I try 5? I might have tried 6. To be fair, I don't know. I wonder if I can actually just click on Steam and just see how long I've played it for. Because I feel like I've tried the tutorial and I've gone nope.
Give you an idea of the depth of this game. I've just had a look. On the achievements, I've only got 8% of the achievements. I have 26 of the 307 achievements on this game.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And that's after 60 hours.
Okay, so yeah, I've played 16 minutes of 5. I started the tutorial and went, nope, I don't understand what you're asking of me. Turned it off, never played it again. I've not played 6. But it always does fascinate me, and I'm always tempted when you or anyone else talks about it. And I know people
Sheepdog's
speak very...
apparently played 45 hours of it, according to his
Civilization,
Steam.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me, but yeah.
It surprised me. There's lots of reading. I didn't know he could do that.
Well, is it probably not like audio description or something like that?
Okay. That makes sense. Me and you are both level 25 on Steam as well, I've just noticed.
Are
how
we?
Exciting. We're the same level.
There you go. There you go. What are levels for?
No idea.
I don't know either. I didn't know I was level 25.
No, there I don't know what the levels mean.
If anyone's got a right answer, send it into...
Yeah, Sheepdog's only level 11, so I'd imagine it is pretty important. If he's only an 11 and we're both 25s,
yeah.
I imagine it is something to pay attention to.
Yeah, send any answers to that question to RB6K on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Right, stick an advert in, and then you two can do your game waffling. That was a great advert. I like the way even the advert stuck the boot into old Skyvy Sheepdog as well. Good work, advertisers. You two, video games. Do you play them?
Do you know he's in our Discord, by the way?
What do you mean?
Sheepdog.
What do you mean he's in our Discord?
You know how we were sending each other immutables of Jellycat? He's just popped in a little...
Right, well...
Yeah, he's nosing.
I urge you to tell him to f*** off. Get him out of here.
When it popped up, I did almost just delete the message immediately. But I don't want him throwing a
ask him if he's enjoying his queue.
Yeah, he should pop back up on his phone again. He just keeps every now and again. You see the little phone icon in the top right. He's like, oh yeah, he's just checking in again. So what have you been playing, Anna? Are you playing anything new?
Not a lot
on the horizon.
No, I've got a war now. But I did.
When
I did,
is that? November.
November. But I did watch the Ubisoft Forward earlier in the week.
Was that on?
Uh huh. It was on. I watched it. I had to fast forward it because the presenters were doing my head in. I can't stand these presenters that try and be like hip and.
That's not like Ubisoft.
Yeah, they've ruined me. I can't watch their people. I can't watch them. But I did watch the game reveals and stuff. So I did see Mario and Rabbids, the new one.
Is that coming out this year still?
Yep, October the 20th, I think they said.
That's pretty soon then.
Yes.
Less than a month.
I do like Rabbids and Mario. That there is now, they've got like whole DLC coming out, and the introduction of Rayman is coming in as well.
And Raymond,
I do like a Rayman. Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond.
I love him. He's so much fun. But he's coming into the game in some sort of capacity, so that will be fun. They've got like a whole new. Way the game plays, so it's still like XCOM, as we know. If people know what XCOM is, it's a turn-based kind of. Is it turn-based? Is that what you call it?
With turn-based tile strategy. Is it tiles? Sort of tiles. Turn-based strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, but it's Mario'd with rabbits, and it's just like this whole thing. There's a whole new powers, yeah. Characters. Land, so yeah, then that comes out. I will be purchasing that. I had the first one, I've played it loads. I love the game, it's really, really good. So that was fun. But I was only there for the Assassin's Creed Gibbles because I knew they said the new game's coming. I wanted to see where it was going, what they're saying. So we've got this Valhalla that's been out for 2 years now, I believe. The last chapter of that is coming in the next couple of weeks to tie that whole game up. Because they did have a 2-year cycle for that game. They wanted it to have this spanning cross universes and whatnot. I went on it the other day and have 279 hours in that game, and I have not finished the main story. So that's how much of the game there is. There's a lot of game. I went in it. I was like, right, let's go. Let's start again. Let's get to this. Get through this DLC to get to the last chapter. And it put me into a boss fight. And I was like, I don't know how to play this game. So I need to roll back my save a little bit. And then go back into it and play it. Because I've no idea what's going on or how to play the game. Because I've not played it for a while. So yeah, Valhalla is coming to an end. And then they went on to what's coming next. So the next game that's coming next is Assassin's Creed Mirage, I think it's called.
Sounds right.
That's based in Iran, I believe it was. Kind of that area, going back to, they want to go back to the stealth action game because they had like Odyssey and Origins, which were fine. Like they went in a different direction, but they've decided they want to go back to the stealth assassin. So apparently there was like a big actress in it. I don't know who she was. Couldn't tell you what she's been in, but apparently she's a big deal. And I was like, all right then. Okay, but apparently the guy that you're playing is in Valhalla. So when you're playing Valhalla, there is two assassins with you from elsewhere. I can't remember his name, but you're going back to where he started and how he started his assassin's life. So that would be fun because like you know bits about him already. You're going back to where he, it basically is like Aladdin. That's what I put it to. I was like, oh, he was like a street thief, like Aladdin, and then he got into this like club and now he's all fancy. So yeah, he had like the start of Aladdin, so that was kind of cool. And then they went even further to announce that they have got one called Assassin's Creed Japan. So they're going
Japan. Oh, I know. Yeah, I do remember this now. They've got, they've shown the roadmap. They've done the MCU roadmap thing, haven't they? They've shown all the ones. But they're miles away.
It doesn't care
for delays and all sorts of other things, does it? But yeah.
Yeah, but that's coming. So that's fun. Like people, apparently the fan base has been asking it to be in Japan. So it's going to Japan. I have no issue with that. I'm all for that. So I'm looking forward to
Will there
to
be vending
that.
Machines?
No, I don't think so. I think it will be like Japan, I think it'll be like back in the day.
Oh, so it's pointless Japan then.
And then they had another one called Codename. So it's Assassin's Creed Codename Hex. So the Japan one is called Codename Red. This one is Codename Hex, and all they showed was like basically like a dark wooded area, and like the Assassin's Creed logo came down made out of sticks. That was all there is. That's all they said. So we don't quite know what that is, but apparently there is a female protagonist in that. So I'm all for that because I do like playing girls in games.
I bet there's female protagonists in all of them. I'm not gonna lie. The last two have been. You can pick a male or female. I bet you can do the same. They won't change that because it's proved too popular.
Well, like in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you could play as boy or girl, or you could play as both, and like different points in the story, you would play in either the male or female. So I don't know how that worked.
I didn't go
down that route, but that's weird that. Because the way I've been reading the story, one is like, I don't know how the game would work if there's two of you playing the same story. It doesn't quite, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I don't know how the story beats would work with both of them, especially the way the story goes. It's like, how can you have her or him in that scenario when this and that and whatever has happened? I don't know how that works. I've never played it that way because I always play as a girl. They also showed off Assassin's Creed Codename Jade, which again, I think it's in China or Japan, I'm not sure, but that's an online game. No, it's not. It's a phone game. So they're going mobile with Assassin's Creed. It did look nice. It did look good. Like, it had all, like, the moving around, jumping off buildings. So, bring it on.
Money on that one being cancelled.
Yeah, but it looked good. It looked nice. Like, I was like, oh, that looks really good. But, again, these are all just what they've put out there in the world. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. There's Assassin's Creed on the horizon. I always like Assassin's Creed. Like, it's one of the things. They also have this thing called, Infinity. And they didn't quite say what it was, but it's like, you can be there with your friends and multiplayer. And I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want to play with people in my Assassin's Creed games because they're single player games. Stop trying to make single player games into multiplayer. I don't want that.
To be fair,
no, thank you. Just kick it away.
To be fair, Assassin's Creed Unity had multiplayer in it, and I had a blast. That's the best way to play Unity, was just playing it co-op, so you can just run around doing
stealthy stabbies.
But it seems like it's going to be like a Destiny game, where it's like a live service game where they're going to have, you'll do levels with your team, and then you'll go back to a hub, and then you'll do this. That's the only way that the apparently the games industry makes money is through live service games. So
yeah, I guess.
Don't really want a piece of that pie, I think. But you're right.
Well, I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't particularly.
I like Assassin's Creed how it is. Stop taking our games and like with Fallout. Like 76 is just awful. Like I'll admit it. It's an awful, awful game. I go in there, and every now and then I'm like, nothing's changed. It's still buggy as hell, and then like the people in there are mean to you, and it level caps at the highest person in that area. So you go in, you're level like 20, and you've got a 70 there, you're dead. It just breaks me. So not a great game, but people love it. But I have been playing this week because of all the Assassin's Creed. Gibbles I have bought on the Xbox to use my new controller because it's beautiful. Dave, why are you trying to sit in a box? Honestly, there's a tiny box and he's sat in it.
Oh boy.
So I went on the store and I saw it for £44.99. I was like, I'm not paying £44 for that game. So I went, do you mind? 1 minute.
He started something new.
There we go. He's laid down in the box. I don't know why, but that's what he wants to do. So I went on CD Keys. I found a code for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and I only bought it because I was watching all the Queen stuff, and I was like, I like London, and then it was showing you like back in the day when it was all like old London. So I've gone back to Syndicate. I'm playing it, right? And I remember the opening scene. I'm playing more of it and I don't remember any of it. So I don't know if I even finished this game. But I am having a lovely time. I'm doing it.
How are you finding it then?
I like it. It's all right because it plays
different to the newer ones, doesn't it?
It does. No. And they've umphed it with the Xbox umphy feature. I don't know what it's called.
That is what it's called. I think that's the what umph, they've got trademarked.
Yes. So it looks lovely. Like, I've not come across anything like visually. It looks lovely. It plays lovely. It's not like it's gone back. It's that game is back into the Assassin's Creed, like stabbing people with your hidden blade and hit it, like it's more stealthy than like with all your godly kicks and hiding. It's just old school, it's
how it controls for me, because it's that, like before Origins, when Origins like did an overhaul of the whole how the game played, and then Odyssey and then Valhalla kind of followed them on, and they played more like the old way of playing Assassin's Creed. I don't know if I could go back to that, because I thought about similar. I've not even touched Syndicate realistically, or Black Flag, and I think maybe.
Oh, Black Flag's lovely.
Wasn't it like triggers run up and then one goes up and then one goes down or something like that?
I
can't do that.
It's like your shoulder buttons, and one shoulder button with A goes up, one shoulder button and B goes down. They are sticky. They like to stick to walls. They are Spider-Man. That is annoying. But I can get over that because I want to play the game. I've bought the game because I want to play it. Yes, it gets annoying. Like, get off the wall. Get off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
But this game came out in, 2015. I remember at EGX with, the big London clock. I think it was.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and the sticky floor with the energy drinks. So
not only a pre-release game, but a whole set piece still left to put it on as well.
Yeah, I have pictures of it somewhere. It was massive, and it was like they did that for Syndicate. They did it for Origins, like massive set pieces. Like, I was like, can I take that home and put it in the living room? I know it won't fit, but I want that at home. It was just so good. So, yeah, Syndicate, I've been playing that, and I was just, because they've got a whole like sale going on with Assassin's Creed. So I already owned. So you know the ones that came out that are side scrolling?
There's the 2D ones, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
there's yeah. India,
Russia,
China. I yeah. already owned two of them, and I was like, oh. So I bought the other one, and I've been playing it, and they are hard games. Like, they're not easy. Like I'm going through the stages, and it's all right, and then there's, like, this one bit that I've got stuck on, I think, at least two of them, where you have to get through the stage before, like, the main character you're going to have to assassinate leaves the section. And I don't know how to get to them that quick. I've no idea, but I have been, like, playing them. They are fun. They're 2D, so it's side-on, but you have, like, different planes. So, you know, like in, like, what's the game? Little Big Planet, where you would have, like, the foreground and the background, and you could swap between both. This has at least three, and you can jump through them if there's, like, I don't know, a plank of wood or a rope that you can go down. So the sections aren't just flat. You can go around the whole stage and get your chests and whatever. But yeah, I've just been dabbing into them, having a go. But they get really hard, and like each one doesn't have the same action. So in one of them, you can, I think it's in India, you can crouch, go up to the enemies who are talking to each other and rob them, and then like creep off and go on your way. In the China one, you can't go up, like you can go up to them to assassinate them, but you can't like go in their pockets and nick bombs or whatever. So each one has like a different playset. There is like, obviously they're in different times. I think like the Russia one, you're in kind of some war, so it's like there's telephones to make distractions, there's lifts. But then like the one in China is very old, very like you've got wooden planks, bridges, and it's all lovely. Like it all looks lovely because it's all painted with watercolor. But yeah, I've been on an Assassin's Creed adventure.
Yeah,
this week.
I'm gonna say it, Anna. I think potentially you like Assassin's Creed more than probably Borderlands at this point.
maybe. I did like last week. I was playing Tiny Tina, but I finished. Well, I nearly finished that game. I got.
I'm gonna go one step further. I'm gonna say you probably like Assassin's Creed as a franchise more than Fallout at this point.
Maybe because it's only
you've
like 50.
You've played Valhalla for 270 hours, or whatever you said. That's just that game alone.
That is ridiculous. I was looking at it, like, that can't be right. That's ridiculous. If I've sank that many hours in nearly 2 years, because we're coming up to when it would normally come out. So it's not that bad, but I have put a lot of hours in that game. Like, I think I've only ever finished Odyssey. Maybe I finished Origins. Yes, I finished Origins after starting it again, and then realised that my first playthrough, I was like an hour away from finishing it, and then played it again because I didn't know. I finished Odyssey because I just love Cassandra. She is my favourite ever assassin. Mm-hmm. I just love her. Her wit and just her one-liners are spectacular. And now I'm playing as Evie and whatever her brother name is, because I don't like really playing as him. I don't like him as a character, but Evie, spot on. Love playing as her. She's great because like Evie is more like stealthy, and that's what I want to be. I want to go on top of buildings with my hooky thing that goes up to buildings really fast, and so I don't have to climb up every building that I want. I can just go and go and then go across like housetops with my, what is it, grapple gun maybe, or I don't even know what they're called, but it's fun to just go across London on that. And now I have a train that's my base, so that goes like around the whole of London, so that's quite fun. But yeah, I do like Syndicate. Apparently this is like what Unity without this is how Unity should have been without the online bits, because Unity, bless it, was a mess when it came out. It was
I played nearly all of Unity.
Really?
Unity's the closest I've come. I think I came to like the last mission, I think, or something like that, and then because I was playing co-op, I just never got around to finishing it. But I loved Unity.
Yeah.
I thought Unity, the world like around that France was so cool. And it was a little bit buggy at times, but I never had horrendous bugs on Unity. But
did you not go into side view people's faces then?
No, I didn't get any of that stuff. I saw that stuff online or whatever at the time, but I loved it. He was my favourite Assassin's Creed guy for a long time, because I didn't play any of the others. I didn't have the same association with him.
He was again an
Arno.
Excellent.
Was it Arno?
Yes, he was a very Frenchman.
He was all right. Yes, I thought it was cool.
I've just been Assassin's Creed in my little mind off, because like I said, I'm waiting for God of War. Like, they showed a new trailer and I was just like, I want to lick it with my tongue on the screen. Oh, I just want
that's
it so
unusual
bad
reaction.
Oh, it just looks like the
eye to lick it.
I'd
with
love
my tongue.
You
I do
in Kevin Anna's just licking.
I was in bed just like going, Kevin, look, Kevin, and he's like got his mask on going, hi Kevin. Like, look at it. So cool. I just want it so bad, because like, did you play the end of it? God of War.
I finished it.
It was that last sentence the boy said, and I was like, what? Oh my god, this like opens like a whole new like, what is gonna happen? And now like, we're gonna get it, and like, I don't know what I'm expecting, but like, I recently played God of War again, I finished it again, and it's so spectacular. It's just, oh, it's just the best game, and I'm so looking forward to the new one. Like, on that day, don't talk to me, because I will not be available. Obviously, I've got Andy here and I need to do what he does, but anything else, I don't even want to eat that day. I just want to sit next to the door, get it through the door, put it in my PlayStation, and just absorb that game. It's so good. Oh, but yeah, November that comes out. So I need some time I need something to entertain. I haven't even turned on my PlayStation this week. Except to look at the how many hours in Valhalla, and then I turned it off instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my Xbox on. Because I found £13 for Syndicate. So I might play that, and then I might go back to Black Flag, because Black Flag was just beautiful as well.
I bet that's got the oomph as well, whatever it is.
The oomphiness of the Xbox.
I bet it has. I bet that probably has as well.
I'll have a look, because I know like Origins is on Game Pass, but I don't want to go Origins. I want to go back to the back catalogue and go in their places and have a look. But yeah, that's all I've done this week. I have one of Andy's toys and I really want to pull it, but it will sound awful on the microphone, so I'm going to put it down because send Kevin a picture of where the dog is.
Yeah, you can pull it in 2.5 minutes, because we are...
What about we're... Ab?
Yeah,
go on.
But me.
Go on.
I finished Immortality.
Never heard of it.
I did it like this Saturday after I was recording on the Friday. I went back and finished it, and that game like fascinates me and also kind of haunts me now. It is so where I left off last week, I said you kind of scrub through like scenes of three separate films, trying to figure out what happened to this actor who just as miraculously just disappeared. And I was just like, you can click on anything within that scene, and then it'll try and kind of face recognize, or it'll try and match something in that scene. Say you clicked on a mirror. If you clicked on the mirror, it would then take you to another scene with a mirror in it and go, that's what you're looking for, and show you another scene. And you have to try and figure out what it is, what like the mystery. I was just enjoying that last week. I went into it last weekend and kind of had my mind blown and did something. I'm not going to spoil it. I did something and kind of just was like, I got up and just walked away from it. I was like, what? Just what? I kind of like, I didn't know. I was kind of stunned as to what just happened. And then once you do it once, you start seeing like the cracks in it and the seat where you've got to like pull the thread. And then it's like, holy hell, this is just mind-blowing what's going on. It's people have compared it to it to, and I thought this at the time, it's like Twin Peaks in certain aspects, and it's bizarre and insane and kind of like stunning. And the end of the game, I don't even know if I have finished the game. I saw credits, but I don't know what happened to that girl. I don't know where she went. But something happened. Something definitely happened to result in me getting endgame. And I was like, okay, turn that off. I am done. I don't know what to do with this. I got to a point where I was like, I got to a point in the game at the end and I was like, I don't know what I'm meant to do. I literally don't, I can't. The escape key doesn't work. I can't get out of a menu. The only way out of this game is me to Alt F4 out of this game right now. There's nothing working. There comes a point in it where I was like, I'm locked in place here and I cannot move anything. I cannot do anything. It was strangely terrifying. I'm not going to spoil it, but based on what it is you have in front of you, what you're dealing with, it is kind of frightening as to what is going on. And I was like, and then eventually I stumbled on what I needed to do and I kind of got out and then I saw credits and I turned it off and I went, okay, good, I'm done. But yeah, it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I'd encourage you to give it a go just to kind of experience it. It might not be your thing, but it is fascinating. On the complete contrast to that, I've been playing a lot of Splatoon 3 as well. I've been playing so much Splatoon 3. Splatoon 3, I think I'm like level 11 now. I didn't realise, I figured this out in the week, there is a like player level and then there's a catalogue level. And a catalogue is effectively a battle pass. Which is a sneaky way of sneaking in a battle pass, but they've done it, and I don't know what I'd get for having a catalogue level, and catalogue level goes up much quicker than your player level. Every time your player level goes up, you unlock new weapons. But catalogue level, there is like a number of things. I clearly wasn't reading it at the start of the game, I was just skipping through all the dialogue. But each, like, you can go through the catalogue, and you can see, like, a battle pass, you go, okay, on this page is, like, level 11, 12, and 13, and it's got, oh, this one, these stickers for your locker, and this one there is some sort of items in this one, and then this one's emotes or whatever it is. So I've just been playing it. I've been doing it daily to get my daily win. You get a win for doing more. You get more XP, sorry, for getting a win, your first win of the day. But I think I found my gun. I found my gun. I've been experimenting through different guns, like long range, short range, rollers, brushes, all different guns. I can't remember what it is, but it's like a fast spraying gun that's relatively good at close range. That's where I tend to find where I am close range. I'm not really long range against enemies. I tend to just kind of find myself in front of like face to face with enemies. So close range is what I need. So that's what I've been rocking. I've got some new outfits. There's a new Splatfest has just started. So the Splatfest is the options you have for choose what you would bring to a desert island: gear, grub, or fun. You get they're the three options you get to pick. I picked grub because I feel like that is what I would go with. So that's what we're going with. And Now, at some point, 23rd of September to the 25th of September, there is like three-way battles going on where you are playing to, you are playing for your team, sort of thing, in the Splatfest. Now, you are playing. I'm on Team Grub, and it's gonna. There are going to be three-way matches over that weekend, which is actually the EGX weekend. So I'm going to miss it all. Damn it! But that's fine.
Just go and play in the LAN area.
Yeah, and I'll have to log in and get playing for Team Grub. But yeah, I've been playing it every night. I've kind of been reinvigorated on the Switch. Barely touched it realistically since I got the Steam Deck. So I've been playing pretty much, probably, I want to say maybe close to up to an hour a night just in bed. Got something on my iPad, got YouTube on or whatever it is. And just playing a bit of playing as Splatoon. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've not even played the single player stuff yet. Apparently you can play it's like an 8-hour campaign in single player. It's supposed to be very, very good. And I've been meaning to get to it, but I've just been enjoying the multiplayer. I've unlocked like competitive or ranked or whatever it is. So I might even try that at some point, but that's where it steps up again. That's where the levels, that's where I've got to prove that I'm actually decent. But which I'm not at the minute, so we shall continue to play some more of that. And the only other thing I've been playing is Fortnite, and the new season starts next week. But we don't need to talk about Fortnite, because Fortnite just still continues to be good, and Spider-Gwen's in next season's Battle Pass, I think. So I'm happy.
You're not
about
much of a Spider-Gwen fan, are you?
No, definitely not with me, with three pictures on the wall next to me. Definitely not me. But other than that is literally it.
Well, I suppose we have to wrap things up there then, boys and girls. Reminder, there may or may not be a podcast next week. It really depends on if we get around to doing it when we're down in London next weekend. I'm down there for the full 4 days this time. It's the first time I've ever gone down for the full 4 days. So I imagine I'll be quite glad of the opportunity to go and hide somewhere and record a podcast for an hour or so at some point. So you've probably got quite a good chance of having one, but if it comes out, it's not going to be on Saturday morning, because we'll still be down there. So
I imagine we'll probably record it on the Saturday at this point. If we are, look, I don't know. Who knows? If we find time, but like I said, like you say,
if there's a podcast, there'll be a podcast, boys and girls. If not, there won't be. That is our official word on the matter. But in the meantime, make sure you follow us on Twitter at MGUK Podcast, or you can follow me at Lelujo.
Oh, I'm Miss Lelujo.
Brilliant.
And I'm at Fab1986.
And we may see you next week, boys and girls.
Bye-bye.
You don't have
it's
to leave
so
the gap for Sheepdog when he's not here.
I do, because it's ingrained into my brain that I hear you, and then I hear Sheepdog, and then I go. It's
Someone stop the tape. Could this be?
Thank you for listening, folks.
You're welcome, Pavi.
Bye.